Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Jerry Seinfeld, Howard Stern, Hugh Jackman, Joe Namath, the famous quarterback of the New York Jets, who beat my hometown team, the Baltimore Colts, in that famous Super Bowl. Oh, but how long ago was that now? I wasn't alive for that one. Late 60s. Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Russell Simmons. What do all of these folks have in common? Well, they're all practitioners of transcendental meditation. Some say it's an ancient form of meditation that was then perfected by Maharishi Yogi in the 1960s. But 13 years ago, in San Francisco, California, Principal James Durkee of Visitation Valley Middle School is principal of a school in the second highest crime rate in San Francisco. And he decides to enact a meditation program. We'll talk about the results of this and much more right here on Main Street Universe. Join us in our circle. And welcome to another episode of Main Street Universe. I see Brett is in the chat room. I just sent him a message saying, remember it was 9 instead of 10. I wasn't sure if I'd talk to him. And tonight's topic is meditation programs being tried in public schools. And we'll discuss other aspects of meditation as well as maybe even go through a walking meditation of one or two different techniques. Two that I use, we'll probably just get to one. What I'd like to do before we get right back to the topic is to remind everyone that Main Street Universe is a network of 6 shows. This one at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Main Street Universe. This is the flagship show with myself, hostess Janice R. White, and Brett Hillman. It was co-founded by my friend Kevin Baird, who has his own show on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle deck. He as well is an artist, and in fact, I just hung up his Frozen Smoke art on my wall just the other day, and it looks great. It's actually above my divination deck table. It's where I keep my 3 divination decks and a pendulum and a few other things. and they have their own table, and now the frozen smoke picture hangs above that. And what was funny about that is my mother-in-law, or I won't get into it, stepmother-in-law, but anyway, she looked at it and she saw the same thing I did right away in this sort of modern art. It's almost like cloud staring, and she saw a serpent. She looked right at it and goes, oh, it's a serpent. And that was the same thing I saw. So anyway, Kevin Baird, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we have Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Susan Weed. Susan is an expert at herbal medicine, as well as discussing women's health issues and the psychology of healing, of taking charge of your own healing, and not always leaving it to someone else. But, of course, get good advice. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and Susan will be absent for 3 weeks. So I'm debating whether to play reruns or to fill that in. It'll be about 3 weeks, actually until January 7th, and then she'll be returning. Then on Friday evenings, we have Jesse Ann Nicholas George. We're jumping around a little here, folks. Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jesse is the author of 4 books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Companion Workbook, as well as You, Me, Like Dreams and its Companion Workbook. Jesse's show is, as the title might suggest, at midnight on Fridays. And on Thursdays, we have Queen Mother Imaku, our one daytime show currently, and that is 2 p.m. Eastern Time, I believe, is our new daytime schedule. And Queen Mother is a high priestess in the Kemetic African-Egyptian tradition. And some people forget that Egypt is, in fact, in Africa and not the Middle East. So that's Queen Mother Imaku, one of the folks on the Main Street Universe Radio Network who has the privilege of saying she is a character. Her picture was used in the Queen of Cups in a tarot deck. 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you have your host Darren Bouquer with his show Spiritual Insight. And Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. Darren also gives contact email for private consultations as well, or you can go see him in person at Reverend Zombies or Marie Laveau's in New Orleans, or call in for a free reading on Sunday night. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Spiritual Insight is the name of his show. And I'd like to mention as well that my co-host, our associate producer, Janice R. White, is as well hostess of the World Reggae Party here in Radio Fairfax, and we will be recording that show, which is done on terrestrial radio, and playing it back on one of the available slots here on the Main Street Universe Network very soon. And I see we do have a caller. I'm going to take it because I am expecting a caller or two. Welcome.
Hi, Daniel.
Oh, it's Brett. Okay.
Hi, Daniel. It's me.
Yeah, your call is anonymous.
Accounts got changed. Well, I said it's a different number. That's me on the line. I was trying to get you in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
I called you a little bit ago.
That's okay. How's your week going?
I've had better. But
oh, good.
It's been a very long, stressful week, but a lot of it has passed. A lot of the stress is kind of ended today. So
good.
Hopefully the rest of the week will go a lot smoother.
And there is snow everywhere.
Sure,
do you have snow where you're at?
Are you kidding?
Is it snowing where you are?
Welcome to Michigan.
Yeah.
Snowing where I am right now. Pretty.
Oh, yeah. I love the way it looks.
Pretty heavily.
Here was kind of a wet snow, so it was more like sheets of ice on the road. It was kind of a sleet and snow. And not my favorite type of snow. Sometimes you would wish it would just get a little colder and just plain snow.
Yeah, I've been there. But no, here it's been pretty much snow. It's been more cold than snow. So
right.
The snow has been pretty frozen and kind of more of a pain than it usually would be.
Yeah. When it's that sort of softer, powdery snow, sometimes it actually warms up because the sun reflects off of it, and it actually makes it feel a little warmer.
It that was 12 degrees here. I don't know what it was for you, and, you know, that's not accounting for wind chill.
That was it. No, it wasn't quite that cold here. But, folks, this evening we're talking about meditation programs being tried in public schools. And right before we get to that, I'd like to do a brief moment of silence, Brett, for someone who spent 27 years in jail, then got out of jail in his own country, the same country he was jailed, and became president, who died last week. So I'm going to ring the bell 3 times 3, 9 times for Mr. Nelson Mandela. Somebody does that is pretty amazing. Most people are just trying to get bills paid.
Well, he was in prison for as long as I've been alive.
And then came out and became president.
Mm-hmm. And we of course did a big thing for him today because he was a member of the Anglican Church in South Africa. Desmond Tutu, of course, and they too were big parts in bringing down the apartheid government.
Hmm. Are they affiliated with your church?
Mm-hmm. They are. It's the Anglican Communion, which the Episcopal Church is part of. Under the Archbishop of Canterbury. Hmm. Yep. So, but that was a big thing. I got to hear Desmond Tutu speak. I heard, the president's speech today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think he gave it yesterday, but I heard it today. So,
those that don't know,
just a lot of things to remember.
Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of just one of those great life stories, or even America, like Frederick Douglass went from being a slave to then being a well-known journalist and writer and then being invited to speak at the White House. And it's amazing that how that happens in one lifetime. It shows you what people can do. Shows you human potential and potential for the other humans around
you
to be affected by it and to be affected by enough to at least somewhat change. You know, those things happen gradually, of course.
Well, may their work continue, because, I mean, there's a lot of things that are better, but there's a lot of things that still need to move forward. So let not their work be stopped.
Yes, so mote it be. And for those of you that don't know, Brett is studying to be a Christian minister. And at one time, I was studying to be a pagan minister, but I'm eclectic now. So we kind of have an interfaith element on the show. I'm a Unitarian as well. I enjoy going to the Unitarian Church, actually, and do lots of great stuff with them in events and concerts and charity and all. So it's great working with them. Well, let's get back to the topic now. Public schools and private schools, in fact, and meditation programs enacted and what some of their results are. In the beginning, at the intro, way back what seems like about an hour ago now, Jerry Seinfeld, Howard Stern, Hugh Jackman, Joe Namath, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr, as well as Russell Simmons, and others, plenty of other celebrities and folks you might know or have heard of, all of them are practitioners of transcendental meditation. Now, I'm only mentioning that one specifically because that was the one that the school programs were geared towards. The truth is, I don't think it necessarily has to be just this one thing. Some people say that the TM movement is a little bit about more getting money. I'm not going to get into any of those debates. What I'm talking about is the techniques they used, the results and the numbers they got. Because any time you're dealing with anything in this kind of thing, it's like if somebody gets a dollar for it, people get mad. So I'm not going to get into that debate. What I'm talking about, and I'll start with the story that I started with at the beginning of the show. 13 years ago in San Francisco, California. James Durkee becomes principal of Visitation Valley Middle School. It had one of the highest crime rates. Actually, I think it's the second highest crime rate in the state, the surrounding neighborhood. It had one of the highest absentee rates, highest suspension rates, highest teacher turnover rates, lowest academic ratings, or one of the lowest academic ratings, the second highest crime rate in that neighborhood, I mentioned that already, 85% poverty level. Do you have your computer? I think your computer's on, Brett. I hear my echo coming back, or is that not your fault?
Hold on. Let me try and fix. It might be just the way my microphone's set up. New accounts and all.
I got you. I didn't hear the repeat. Okay, hello, hello, hello. I think we're okay now. Okay. We had our information specialist take care of it. Anyway, back to the topic. The kids, as he was saying in his interview, the kids were afraid to go and play outside and hang out on weekends. So what to do? Well, Principal Durkee tries something that at first pretty much got him laughed at. He tries to convince the superintendent of schools and others to adopt a meditation program, specifically transcendental meditation. The superintendent of schools is Carlos Garcia. After a while, Garcia said, you know what? We've thrown a lot more money at a lot worse things. Let's go ahead and give it a try. So the 6th and 7th grade classes, twice a day, difficult crowd, folks, even in any school, 6th and 7th graders, middle school kids in general. My brother was a middle school teacher for a while in the inner city in Baltimore, the Reverend Scott Sinmore Michael. So 6th and 7th grade classes, twice a day, for 15 minutes a day, engaged in what is now called quiet time. What they were practicing, in fact, was transcendental meditation, or TM for short. Now, the reason they've given it this quiet time term, I believe, was to help take some of the religious-sounding nature out of it. Instead of saying, your child is now going to be engaged in transcendental meditation to the parents, and some of them might be very strict in their other religious beliefs and be like, what? What the heck kind of stuff are you teaching my kid? Are you teaching them some other religion? And the people at the TM movement say, no, this is not a religion, and that meditation is basically as religious as you want to make it. It's a technique for the mind. However, different forms of meditation can be deeply religious or even magical, depending on the practitioner, depending on the intent, and sometimes just plain and depending on the technique itself. So, what were the results? After about a year had passed, Superintendent Carlos Garcia returned to the school to check in and say, okay, how is this happening? Is there any progress here? And he did say that he noticed instantaneously when he walked into the building how quiet it was. And no, he wasn't walking in on a meditation session. He just walked in and noticed how quiet it was in general. He's like, they weren't yelling and screaming at each other so much. He said the building itself just felt calm. The students were not screaming at each other. And right to it, here are some of the numbers. Attendance rate, sorry, I have something in my throat, so I'm going to topic for a second. Give me just 1 second. Take a sip of water here. Okay, we're back. I work around a lot of dust. Attendance rates did improve from 95.5% to 98.3%. So, okay, it's been a year. Attendance went up a little bit. Not too bad. And these things take time, too, by the way. Test scores, a little more impressive. the scores improved by like 10 percentage points. So that means if they had like a 70, now maybe they had an 80, or an 80 then went to a 90. So that's really significant right there. The school went from being one of the schools with the highest suspension rates to being one of the lowest, I think like the third lowest now at this point. So less kids getting suspended with more attendance. So some people could say, oh, okay, what are you just, you know, not letting the bad ones in anymore to make your program look good? There was none of this kind of doctrine going on because more of the kids were there. 20% of graduates from Visitation Valley Middle School were accepted into one of the country's top performing schools. This high school was known as Lowell High School. So they were even getting admissions into higher-end high schools than they even would anticipate before. After the early success of this experiment at Visitation Middle School, the program expanded to 3 additional schools. All this is in the California, San Francisco area. The next school to experiment program was Burton High School. Burton was about 2 or 3 in suspension rates, kind of as Visitation was. But after, again, about a year, this was about a year and a half, a year and some change, that suspension rate was cut in half. So that's a pretty impressive number right there. Cut in half just after 1 year of enacting a meditation program. The principal at Burton High was now impressed. And hold on just a moment, folks, back to Visitation Middle School and Principal Durkee. Before the TM program was enacted at Visitation Middle School, Principal Durkee would lose 19 out of 36 or so teachers. Basically, every year he was losing half of his teaching staff because it was just such a terrible place to teach. And the system that was in order there was just completely ineffective, and something new needed to be done. However, since the quiet time, or the Transcendental Meditation Program, has been enacted, he now only loses staff that retire or are promoted naturally or that move for other natural reasons or something, like, oh, I'm getting married and I'm moving to Milwaukee or whatever. So this is a lot different than the old reason of basically escape, and he loses much less of them. So now we'll go to Detroit. There's another example of this same style of program in Detroit, Michigan. At Nataki Talibah School in Detroit, 140 students or so were followed in this program. So it wasn't all of them, but what they did is they enacted this program experimentally and then followed 140 students at Nataki Talibah School in Detroit. And again, this was another success story. Grades went up dramatically. And in this particular instance, there was a dramatic decrease in fighting and bullying that was noticed by the principal, similar to what the superintendent at Visitation Middle had noticed as well. So those are just a couple examples, and actually now this has spread across the country. And Nataki Talibah, as an example, has now been using this program for about 13 years. And I think it's been 5 or 6 years for Visitation in Burton and all the ones in San Francisco. So this has spread and is catching on. Now, take a look at maybe some other types of schools or some other types of issues. Kingsbury Day School, right here in my backyard in Washington, D.C., nation's capital, has now enacted a Transcendental Meditation program. This is a school with special language-based attention disabilities. So research is showing that these meditation sessions are not just relaxing the students, but they may be decreasing the damaging aspects of their conditions. So what we're coming down to is that meditation, not medication. At least that's what some are saying. They're not all taking it that far. Some kids are extreme cases. But they're actually finding in scientific research and in research in these schools, in these programs, some impressive results. Here are some of the numbers, at least from the interviews of the students. 53% of the students, this is again, I think, after enacting it for about a year, claim feeling less anxious and less depressed. They, as well as a quarter of the ADHD-affected students, claim to focus better. Speaking of ADHD, that freaking sentence that I wrote, which I was diagnosed with that, by the way, when I was younger. And I was on the pills when I was a kid, but then my mother took me off them quickly. I don't remember it because I wasn't paying attention. Huh? Shh, bad joke. But two of the students, Ima Alba, who was tested at a college. We're moving on to college now, folks. And there's two students that I'm focusing on here because one was tested in a lab at this university. And the name of the university slips me, but I'll give you her name. Her name was Irma Alba, and she was tested on an ECG machine. And again, with very good results, getting off of pills for her condition. Now, hers is a little different than the next student I'm going to mention. The next one is, his name is Josh Golding. She took herself off the pills. She was diagnosed with ADHD when she was about 12 years old. And then she, you know, went through school, was taking the medication, all of that, under a doctor's care and such. Then she started with transcendental meditation and was doing it in lab conditions. So you could say maybe there was some degree of safety of her weaning herself off of the medications. There was some sort of scientist there, I guess, the guy putting the stuff on her head and testing her in the lab. But that was a decision she made herself. The next case is Josh Golding, and he had gotten off of his medication as well after only 3 months of practicing transcendental meditation. Josh's own doctor told him that he seemed not to have the condition anymore. Now, that's very strange, especially when you consider that basically so many of these doctors are in the business of handing out these psychotropic pills. So he actually weaned himself off of these psychotropic pills after his doctor said he appeared not to have ADHD anymore after just 3 months of a regular meditation practice that he kept faithful to. And to this day, he feels really good, and in his, well, you know, in his interview, he looked like he was fine. Don't really know the guy personally. But I found that one to be very interesting because the doctor himself was like, you don't seem to have this condition anymore. So there are just some examples out in the world, and some of them very much in troubled areas. When people think of something like, oh, it's transcendental meditation, they're like, oh, you're bringing that fluffy new age stuff into a real world environment. Well, we're talking about Detroit. We're talking about some of the toughest schools, toughest ghettos in California. And having some pretty good successes early on with these experiments and with these programs. Now I'm going to take a brief break right here and come right back. We're going to do a quick song here. And this one is going to be by someone who was on our show, Tawatha D. And this is the Irish Handfesting. I'll be right back. Thank you.
forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
All right, everyone, welcome back. This is Daniel Michael, and our discussion is meditation programs in public schools. Are you there, Brett? Hello, Brett Hillman. Are you there? Okay. And this takes me to another aspect of this whole thing. And this is a discussion I guess people have a lot with today's youth.
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Okay. And
I had to keep myself double muted because you keep getting that.
Keep getting the echo, yeah.
The echo.
It happens sometimes. I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing it now.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of things here that I'm noticing. A lot of it seems to be a constant practice, whether or not it's meditation. It's something that they're doing that is constant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are most of these programs, were they voluntary or was it a mandatory?
Honestly, some of them, the kids signed up, but once they signed up, it's a mandatory 15 minutes of doing this in the morning, 15 minutes of doing it, I think, in the afternoon. First and last thing, like bookends. And for the others, it was mandatory. It was like, in fact, they rang a bell. It was like ding, 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 or you know, a gong like this. And they're like, hey, and everybody, they just get so used to that, and they get used to being conditioned with that, that it just starts to happen naturally, that the bell rings, and at least in the videos and in the studies that I saw and read about. So it was definitely mandatory. And these, you know, asking them to do it voluntarily would be a little rough for a kid, even for an adult, right? How often do you skip on your meditation or prayer practice?
Well, or have you in the past? Actually, I'm much better at it now because I'm actually making the attempt. But
yeah.
I wanted to point that out. But I wanted to say, like, to parents, did they have a right to opt their kids out of this program? Like, if they,
absolutely,
they did feel – okay.
Absolutely.
Things like that, you know, is always a wonder. But I do want to point out that, you know, most religions have some kind of contemplative practice. I mean, Christians have a practice they call meditation. It's not quite the same thing, but they focus all their being either on a specific piece of scripture or just being with, you know, the presence of God. It's you're doing similar things. And
yeah.
I think that our fast-paced culture just has really no place for contemplative life, or at least it feels it doesn't, and that's kind of why we're hurting so much.
And I'm glad.
And, of course, you know, Islam has the five times a day in prayer. You know, they no matter what, at that time, they go pray. And I think that's one of those that's another thing to, you know, to point out. It's just our culture really just tries to not have something like that.
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. And it's also one of the things that I always found most impressive about the Muslim or the Islamic religion is its disciplines. But the Christian prayer or the Christian meditation, more specifically, is an interesting one because it has similar concept to Transcendental Meditation, which I know a little bit about that, but I've never been officially trained by it, but I've done enough research that it's really not that hard, as well as other mystical meditations in the way that the one I'm talking about, Brett, is the one where you stare at a piece of scripture. So your mind is emptying and it's completely just absorbing, almost like looking at a candle, or chanting or inwardly chanting, even meaning not out loud, a mantra. It's very the technique is so similar because you're allowing sort of nothing else to cloud the mind except for that one thing.
And that's something I've been, you know, starting to look into a little bit. I've been reading some notes and, like, the early church fathers, some of them known as the desert fathers, you know, in the East more than the West, the Orthodox have a real powerful style of prayer that the West just does not have in its fullness. Though it is starting to kind of come back. There are devotional societies, there's groups that are doing this thing called the centering prayer, which is a similar idea. But the East has always had this meditative process, especially among its monks and nuns. Not to say that the Western monks didn't do a lot of prayer or similar contemplative lifestyle, but it's just there was something different, and you notice how it changes their lives in a lot of the older writings of the church.
And the monks, of course, had the famous chanting, right? The Gregorian chanting a lot of people think of when they think of monks.
Yes, and chanting and repeated, going through all 150 psalms in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Something that through, I'm doing something starting now, trying at least to do once a day, is we have a group of prayers called the Daily Offices, which is morning prayer and evening prayer and noonday and those middle prayers. But I've tried to do at least one a day, and that's why I've been much, much better at my contemplative practice recently, and a lot of it because of what we talked about last week for Advent.
Right. And an interesting thing that you mentioned about us not taking enough time to be still is so important now in our modern lives where things are so busy. I mean, I run around all over the place. I'm not complaining. I mean, it's good. The work's there, and I'm glad it's there. But I'm running around like crazy. And taking that time is so extra important in such a busy life that the modern life is. You think these modern things are bringing you conveniences, like, oh, think of all the time I'll have. No, it's human nature to go, okay, now that I can do this quicker, let me add this to my life experience now. And now you're doing a gazillion more things instead of just waking up and being quiet for 20 minutes.
I'll quote a famous scripture, you know, especially ones that our Christian brothers will know quite well. Be still and know that I am God.
Exactly.
And when God in scripture, he uses the word be, there's a power there. It's one that this is something I learned in my Adventist days that I've kind of never lost with me, but let there be light. Be ye holy as I am holy. Be has a more commanding, powerful presence. It's almost if the divine spark is being used specifically during those words. And you see it through scripture. So that be still has a very powerful presence.
Almost may you be light. Be God-like or Christ-like. Be the light.
And we are called to be a blessing. You know, we are called to act differently than the world does in a lot of cases. And I think, you know, even among other faiths, kind of one of the things that really comes across is something isn't right here. What can we do about it?
Absolutely. And I see we have another caller here. I think that's Janice. I'll go ahead and take that, our associate producer. And right before I do, I want to make one other point, is that one group that's all about meditation and has some of the lowest numbers that are incarcerated are the Hindu population in America by percentage. They're the lowest incarcerated population, and I think some other Easterners are as well, and these are all traditions that believe in this bit of silence. And now, of course, other traditions do as well, but I'm saying these are ones that truly, like you said, aspects of the West have, including whether it's the occult and certain aspects of paganism or just Christianity, and some people engage in them more than others and believe in them more than others. Now I see. Hold on.
Well, I would also say, like, you know, in Japan and China, there's a lot less crime, not necessarily because of the fact that dissenters are silenced more readily. That might be the case in, say, communist China, But in a lot of cases, their culture kind of dictates a more calm atmosphere, especially in Japan. In Japan, it's really, and most police officers just kind of have to be there. They're generally not armed.
It's amazing.
And just their mere presence is enough to get them to listen, you know?
We're going to do another episode, too, about is world peace possible? And I'm going to be talking about cultures. The one good example, right, not too far from here, is the Amish, where they believe in never hitting another human being, and they live like that most of the time. But I'm going to take the caller, Brett. Welcome,
Hello.
Denise.
Well, thank you. I thought I would call in so you guys would know I'm not dead. So,
well, glad to hear
it. We did notice the Facebook message.
So, but yes, I love that quote about be still and be God, or the Christian quote that Brett had commented on, because I know in Reiki we do a lot of be-stilling our bodies, be-stilling our heart, so we can get the message of the healing through Reiki.
And you are a Reiki master, right, Janice?
Yes.
And Janice, we were talking a little bit about, I know you were a social worker at one point, so maybe you can chime in on this a little bit, about the distractions that kids have, because we're talking about meditation in schools and the importance of just a time of contemplation and stillness, and maybe any experiences you might have thought of or run into during your time as a social worker.
Well, actually, the first year that I started working with the county, they had a meditation weekend where we got into groups. I think it was like 50 of us, and we got into groups of five. And we had to practice meditation. We had to do a form of walking meditation, which is...
was it the maze? Were you using a maze?
Kambala? Can't remember the name, but...
Okay.
How you walk around sort of like in a circle, and you don't talk to anybody, nobody talks to you, you don't make any eye contact, you just keep walking in this circle, and through this walking, you could get nirvana or a higher consciousness, because they have it in D.C. They have like a house of this. And I went for a while. Even when I lived in Baltimore, I went. So, but in the county, they had this meditation weekend, and we did that, and we did. Somebody would give us a word like light, and we would concentrate on that word, and we'll bring up any type of characteristics of that, and we would see how many people would have the same thing. I enjoyed it, but it was a lot of my colleagues that were like, well, this is, you know, hokey-pokey, new age type of stuff.
And the interesting thing is, you know, I used to do that as a kid. I don't know if I didn't call it meditation, but I used to go downstairs and just walk around in a circle for, like, the longest time. But I was kind of a strange kid. I used to bang my head against the wall, too.
I drive people crazy because I pace. Doing it right now, in fact.
I'm a pacer.
Daniel paces a lot, trust me.
Yeah, Janice knows that. I'm often standing when I do the show. I'm walking around the room, which I'm doing right now. Not always, but...
I'm doing it right now. We're both doing it, apparently.
Brett and I are born...
I'm the only one sitting down, so...
Brett and I are both January 20th, and we're both pacers. We both have the same birthday.
See, I'm February, so that's a different type of Aquarius, though.
Yeah.
So,
yes, it is.
Yeah.
My sister's a February Aquarius. Well,
before I go to cough some more, one of the things that I looked up while I was here It was the work of Jon Kabat-Zinn, C-I-N-N. He's founder of the Stress Reduction Program at the University of Massachusetts Medical School.
Mm.
I think his wife did something about meditation and cancer, actually. So they're both a big meditation type of couple. And he made this Buddhist practice meditation called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction.
Okay.
MBSR. And he tried it in schools in Boston and in Salem and some other places in Massachusetts. And he did it supposedly with gang members that were inside the different high schools in Boston. And he took really kids that were ready to go to, I guess, what they would call reform school.
Right.
And after a month of this meditation exercise of his, the serotonin levels in their brain was started to go down, and they were starting to become less aggressive towards teachers and more attentive in class.
Hmm. I hadn't heard that study. And he's a local guy,
that's a
huh?
very good thing. And I can't remember the a study that you did on YouTube or something.
I mentioned
YouTube.
One of those earlier.
Yeah.
James Durkee from San Francisco Visitation Valley Middle School.
Okay, so that was in middle school. So the
other
guy was
middle
still
school,
high
not
school.
Even high school.
So it's definitely work that I see that really needs to be done.
As just part of, we're also, by the way, for those of us that think this is a good idea, and I do think it's a good idea, and I think the three of us here think it's a good idea, we're not suggesting that this is going to solve all our problems. What we're saying is that this is one step to take in a proper direction. It's one little, you know, ingredient in the recipe, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, and our point, you know, we're coming at it from two, three very different sides, but it's something you can do with your own tradition, with your own...
Truly.
Belief structure. There is a place you can find a more contemplative life. You just need to look. Be you Buddhist, be you Christian, be you Muslim, be you pagan, East,
or all
West.
All of the above, no kidding. So.
Or all of the above, yeah.
Yes.
But there really is a place for more contemplation, no matter what you believe.
Again, the thing that usually makes it always work is consistency and pretty much a daily thing, or at least, or especially for the kids, a daily thing. I think once you get used to it, you know, if you don't always do it every day, of course, whatever, but making it a habit, making it a daily habit, which I've fallen out of, by the way, as I'm here preaching, but I'm starting
well,
I've fallen out of it too, and I need to go back myself.
Listen. I'm taking the time to get more into it. I can't do it the same time every day because of the way I work, either morning or afternoon. But I make it a point, maybe before I go to bed, to at least do the evening prayer. I'll do it before.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to say. So I have to go and rest my voice now.
Thank you for calling in. And I hope you feel better.
I do, too. So David's taking very good care of me.
There you go. That's good, because you're going to be with him for a long time after you get married, right?
Yes. So if he can't take care of me now, I'm in trouble.
That's right. It's a test run.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
I'll be back next week with the topic.
All right. Okay, do not yet have a topic for next week or a guest, but we'll figure something out.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, well, have a great evening.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Thanks. All right, are you still there, Brett? I think he's having an issue with his line, but that's okay. I can keep going. Another aspect of this I'd like to discuss is going back a little bit to the medical and scientific side. There actually has been some research done with the brain scanners and measuring the waves and all that stuff, and as Janice said, serotonin levels. There's even been, for other different conditions, one of them was autism, and according to the CDC, 1 in 88 people have an autism spectrum disorder, or ASD. The prevalence has increased about tenfold in the last 40 years. Now, it's also important to note that I sometimes question all diagnoses of some of these medical disorders, but we're not going to go into that now. Sometimes I think some of these disorders, ADHD, all of them are overly diagnosed, but we'll save that point for another day. Now, they say there is no cure. Seems to be many treatments for the manifestations of the symptoms of the disorder. And again, this is one where meditation has been practiced and with a degree of success. Now, how does this work to relieve the stress? How does it work to relieve these symptoms? Well, it says that, as Janice mentioned, there seems to be a chemical reaction with serotonin and an adjusting of brain waves, electromagnetic activity in the brain with the ECG scanners and everything and all the equipment. And always, of course, the most effective results have happened from very consistent practice. So some people say, well, I did something, I don't know, it doesn't feel any different. You keep going and doing it for months, every day, preferably twice a day. And I would say of whatever the technique is. Now, if you talk specifically about transcendental meditation, what I know of transcendental meditation is this, and that is it's one that's actually quiet. I think some people think it's one where you, because they hear mantra and they think that you chant. You sort of do, but you just hear the chant in your mind in whatever rhythm is necessary, in whatever pitch is necessary, in whatever amount of voices you hear it doing is necessary. The important thing is that you close your eyes, do some sort of a breathing rhythm. I would probably just do a simple breath count. Some say you don't even have to do a breath count. You have different schools of thought on that. I like having a slight count to focus on. So that could be in for 10, hold for 10, out for 10. Could be an example. So in the specific transcendental meditation, they even say that you're given a word. And the word is specific to your age and gender. So there's a different mantra to know for someone who's, say, between 41 and 44 years old, or 20 and 25. It's usually within these, like, 4 or 5 year blocks. Now, I'm not sure whether or not it has to be that specific, that, but the practitioners of transcendental meditation say it should be taught by an instructor and you should use the word and not tell other people what the word is, because they say it can take the focus away from it or the power away from that word. Now, in my years of trying different things, I would say, okay, if that's the rule you want to apply, and sure, I'd like to know. Actually, I know what my word is, but I think I'd do fine without it if you really want to know the truth. Some people make up one. Basically, because the entire point is to completely focus the mind on nothing else but the chant and doing it internally, not externally. And as Janice said, there's been studies of different serotonin levels and brainwave activity that all changes and calm down, focus, better learning, better grades, all of the above. Are you there, Brett? I think your number's back.
I think I'm here. I hope I'm here. Am I?
Yeah, I can hear you. So basically, we went over a few cases. San Francisco, quite a few of them. Janice mentioned ones in New York, D.C. I mentioned the D.C. one as well, as Detroit, as well as a place using transcendental meditation for the treating of ADHD and autism. And I can maybe post some of these studies later. I didn't go into too much detail because I saw our time was running out a little bit, and I was kind of looking for Brett's number again. So, Brett, any final words, I guess, on quiet time or the distraction of kids? One thing I thought was funny is in a LinkedIn group, an obnoxious, like, marketeer group with a bunch of marketers and salespeople, they're like, how do we get these younger buyers' attention? I'm like, good luck, because there's, like, a gazillion people always trying to get their attention.
I would just say make your product. If it ends up being picked up by kids, it ends up being picked up by kids.
Because kids...
I mean, you're contemplating with the big boys at that point.
Yeah. Oh, that's a difficult thing. What's going to be the next big thing that the young crowd likes, right?
Advertise it on game stations.
Yeah.
What more can I say?
But anyway, we've got only about 70 seconds left here. We've been talking about transcendental meditation being offered in schools and having some really, really good results. Again, we're saying this is just one piece in a very large puzzle, step in the right direction. Thanks again for joining me, Brett Hellman.
Let me quickly say before we go, we don't have anything follow us. If you have 5 minutes, take 5 minutes.
Exactly.
We are not followed on other Ritlazen radio programs because we are online.
That's true. And the archives can be heard anytime. So remember that Main Street Universe is the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Have a good week.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.